But we do appreciate Mark. We do really appreciate all that he does. He's preached some great sermons, and I'm going to follow in on this sermon series that he's been on. It's a Give Me a Hand sermon. So the first sermon he preached was on what? Fingers crossed. You don't have to wonder about your salvation. You don't have to second guess your salvation. And last week, I tell you, Charlie, that joke he told was really bad. Thumbs up. Thumbs down. Yeah, that kind of stuck with me. This week, I'm going to continue on. He said, pick your hand gesture. So I picked the one I wanted. Hang loose. Everybody just get your hand up. Donnie, you're really good at this. Hang loose. Give me a hang loose. Mom, are you doing the hang loose? My mom, I don't think I've ever seen you do that, Mom. Hang loose. Give a little jiggle, Mom. Give a little jiggle. There you go, Mom. Hang loose. I like it. I like it. We got a whole congregation hanging loose. But to be honest with you, I picked this one because my family would tell you I have a little hard time hanging loose. If you knew me, you would know that sometimes I have a hard time hanging loose. I like to work, and I like to keep things. Matter of fact, my family tells me that I need to slow down a little bit sometimes. We didn't vacation a whole lot. I went to Grandma and Grandpa's growing up. We didn't do a lot of vacationing like a lot of people do growing up. And so when I started vacationing with my wife, they vacationed well. They went to Fort Myers. So I get with my father-in-law, and he was the one that kind of taught me a little bit about hanging loose. Don knew how to do that. He could hang loose. So I would go with them on vacations to Fort Myers, and I remember going to Fort Myers when I was in my 20s, and I got to tell you, I was a bear. I had a hard time. I would get down there, and I would think about all the things back home that I needed to be doing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all, you have a problem with me. You have a problem. I think about all the things back home I should be doing, but I'm down at the beach, and I'm feeling guilty about it. Now, God has saved me from that. I can go to the beach now. I feel really good about it. I have no problem going to Gulf Shores and relaxing down there. My wife has helped me in that area. But I remember one time we were staying 3 miles. I don't know. How many people have been to Fort Myers? Just raise your hand up. There you go. Quite a few of y'all. We would go to town where that pier's at. We were 3 miles. I'd walk to the pier every day, 3 miles, and then walk back home. 6 miles. I just do it just so I could kind of relax a little bit. I'm not that way anymore. But sometimes, Jeff, I would worry. Worry about the things back at home. Now, I know you never did that, did you, Jeff? Never, never. But sometimes I worry. Sometimes maybe you worry. Heard about the old boy that was looking in the mirror, worrying about his health. He looked at his wife. He said, honey, I feel terrible. I feel horrible. He looked back in the mirror and said, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm fat. Matter of fact, honey, I'm ugly and I'm out of shape too. He said, honey, pay me a compliment. She said, well, your eyesight's nearly perfect. Sometimes we get to worrying, and today in our passage, we're going to find a lady who worried a little bit. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says it like this. Now it happened as he went to a certain village. A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And her sister, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Therefore, tell her to get up and help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Can anybody relate with Martha? I know Mary's doing right, but you're sitting there, you're in church, you say, no, I can't understand that. I can understand Martha. I can relate with Martha. I can really think about Martha. See, Martha was worried about her sister. Not doing her part. Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve all alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, there was five of us kids in our family. And I got to tell you, sometimes we felt like we were doing the only ones. What's the other four doing? Where's Sandy at? Why isn't she helping? Where's Bethany at? Why isn't she helping? They're probably saying, where's Jimmy at? Why isn't he helping? You ever feel that? Feel like you're the only one there and everybody else not pulling their weight? Well, that's what Martha was feeling like. Mary's not pulling her weight, Jesus. Tell her to get up and do her part. Boy, we can be like that. Matter of fact, we work pretty hard, most of us do. I'm looking at a church that's a hardworking group of people. Matter of fact, in America, we're hardworking as a society. A lot of people want to argue about that, but ABC did a report not too long ago that said Americans work more than anyone in the industrialized world. Did you know that? Americans work more than anyone in the industrialized world, more than the English, more than the French. And then the report said that way more than the Germans and Norwegians. I don't know why it said that. Even recently, more than the Japanese. And Americans take less vacations, work longer days, retire later as well. The article went on to say that most people agree on this. What's harder to pin down is exactly how much Americans are working. It may be more than our industrialized competitors, but is it more than we've ever worked before? The short answer, according to the government, is that it's only slightly more. That's our government. Only slightly more. Most people shouldn't really notice. Have you begun to notice it yet? Are you noticing that little extra yet? Have you begun to see it? We take our laptops everywhere. We take our iPhones, our cell phones. Everywhere, our iPads, why? So when we're away, we can check up on work. Even on our days off, in our evening time and night time, we set that cell phone right near our bed and we don't turn it off and it dings and we answer it. Even on vacations, we take the laptops and the cell phones and we keep it right next to us just in case somebody might, what, need us back home? Work might need us. Americans seem to be distracted, angry, troubled, depressed, diabetes, heart disease, and we feel guilty about taking a day off. If you take a day off, you feel guilty about it. Raise your hand if you've ever felt guilty about taking a day off. I have. There you go. Anybody remember a day without cell phones? You lived, didn't you? Anybody remember when your mama come out the back door and said, "It's time to come in, kids." And you knew, and if that didn't get your attention, dad stepped out on the back porch and whistled. Anybody's dad have that whistle? My dad could whistle. You could hear it a mile away. He whistled, and buddy, you knew. You better start running home. Oh, I believe we've turned into a Martha's world. I believe our culture has a hard time hanging loose. I believe as we look around, especially today, especially if you turn on the news, our culture's having a real hard time hanging loose. I'm going to give you four ways you can hang loose. If you want to do better at hanging loose, I'm going to give you four ways to hang loose a little better. One, be focused. Be focused. Know what's important. Not everything in life is important. If it's not going to matter in 10 years, 20 years, maybe it shouldn't be on your mind and you shouldn't be worrying about it nearly as much. Be focused. Second, be present. Be mindful of where you're at. Be present. Know what you're doing at the moment. There's a lot of people that they might be here with their feet, but they're not here. They're not present in their mind. Be present. If you want to learn to hang loose, be. I love this missionary. He told me, he said, Jimmy, I want you to come to Haiti, and I just want you to be. I never heard anybody say that to me before. I just want you to be. How about that? What he was saying, I thought about it a long time. He just wanted me to come and hang loose in Haiti and just be and experience their culture, be in the moment, be in Haiti. Do you have a hard time just being? Does that make sense? Just being where you're at. Learn to be. Especially when you're with your family, learn to be. Learn to be in worship. Just to be. And soak in God's goodness. Soak in the guys on the worship team. Just soak the worship songs in. And think about it. I love that last song they sung, Red. I love that song. And just a song just to be in that moment. Sometimes we're so worried and so distracted, we have a hard time being. Disconnect. Disconnect from the iPhone, the iPad, the laptops, the cell phones, smartphones. You'll live. You'll live. Turn that thing off once in a while. And some there was a season in my life I just arrogant. I thought, well, what happens if I turn that thing off? Maybe somebody will die. Well, even if somebody dies, a half an hour is not going to make it or break it. I can't stop it from happening. There comes a time that you just need to be. So I would tell you to disconnect if you want to learn to hang loose. And then how about this? Focus on people. We focus so much on other things. Things, I guess is the way you put that. Things. Learn just to focus on people. Be with your friends, your family, your colleagues. Sometimes we're with them, but we're really not with them. In this passage, it says, Martha was worried about many things. Are you worried about many things? How are you doing with that? Are you really worried about many things? Martha, Martha, you worried about and troubled about many things. Jesus knew that Martha was a worrywart. He knew that. She had a tendency to worry. Martha wanted things to be just right for Jesus. Can you relate with that? You're going to have Jesus in your house. You want things to be just right. Martha didn't want to give Jesus food poisoning from the fried chicken. She wanted to make sure everything was right. Had to be perfect. Everything had to be special. She didn't want to disappoint Jesus. Can you relate with that? Can you relate with that? Not wanting to disappoint anybody? Wanting things to be special for whoever's there? Wanting things to be right? I love these pics of these dogs because sometimes we worry a lot. And I run across these pics. I like, don't worry. He's on a leash. Yeah, like that's going to stop it. I love it. The next one is even, I like it even better. Yeah. This child doesn't worry about a whole lot. You got German shepherds surrounding you. You're not going to worry a whole lot like that in bed. She can sleep peacefully. We have a tendency to worry a little bit. Let me remind you of a stat that most likely, I would guess everybody here has heard it, but I want to remind you of it today. You've heard it said, 40% of the things that you worry about never happen. 30% of the things you worry about are things of the past. And you can't change it. 12% of the things you worry about is other people's opinion. And you can't control other people's opinion. 10% of the things you worry about is your health. And when you worry about your health, well, it just gets worse. And 8% of the things you worry is probably the real things that you should be thinking about. 92% of the things you worry about aren't worth thinking about. How about that? 92%. Corey Ten Boom said it this way, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Think about this. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You worry instead of enjoying the day you have today. Instead of enjoying it, you're going to worry all day. You worry, so you toss and turn at nighttime when you could not. If you let the worry down, maybe you have a good night's sleep. You worry, and you focus on that instead of spending time with your friends, spending time with your Savior. You see, worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine, and why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? I'm going to give you five reasons not to worry. One, worry hurts your faith. Worrying is not good for your faith at all. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Matthew 6:25. Number two reason not to worry. It eats you up physically. Worrying's not good for you. You heard the saying, people say this, I'm worried to, truly that comes to people. Truly people do worry themselves to death where it hurts them physically. In Matthew 6 it says, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Third reason, worrying is unproductive. Fourth reason not to worry, worry magnifies the problem. Fifth reason not to worry, this is my favorite, worry is what? You can't fix it. Worrying doesn't fix anything. Worrying is unproductive. Worry is useless time in your life. And so while you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs and worrying, wringing your hands and staying up at nighttime, killing yourself, it's useless. It's useless behavior. Doesn't help. It's faithless behavior as well. Are you troubled about many things? Are you troubled about things? Mark said it last week, in every row and every seat that people sit in, there are situations that you're dealing with. There's worries that you're taking care of. Each and every seat that's filled here today, there's things in your life that you're dealing with. And so we all have a little hard time hanging loose because worry has a way of creeping into our lives. But being able to hang loose, I'm going to tell you that's a learned behavior. Hanging loose is a learned behavior. I think worry is a natural tendency. But when we consciously say, you know what, I'm going to put my faith in God and I'm not going to fear everything. I'm not going to worry about everything that's going on. I'm going to trust that my Heavenly Father has this. That's a conscious behavior. That's a change in behavior. That's something that we can learn to do to say, I can't affect that, so I'm going to give it to God and know He's big enough to take care of it, and I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in faith in a Savior that can take care of me. Martha was worried about her sister. Martha was worried about many things. But then there was Mary. Mary knew how to hang loose. She knew how to hang loose. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and Mary, her focus was on Jesus. Martha's focus, well, it was on lunch. Two different focuses, one on Jesus, one on lunch. I got to tell you, I give Martha a hard time, but I'm a little bit like Martha. Sometimes I can be scatterbrained, and I can focus on the wrong things. I can even be in church sometimes, and my mind wander about the next week and what I'm going to do next week or who I'm going to call on or who's here and who's not here. And my mind wanders. I know that never happens to you. Especially this morning, it's not happening. Maybe next week, but not today. Sometimes our mind wanders, doesn't it? Sometimes we can be a little bit like Martha. When you fully focus your mind, you make others attracted to you. When you're a focused person, other people are going to attract to you. Colin Powell says, always look through the front windshield, not the rearview mirror. I like that. How many people, I'd use this statement a lot in the homeless shelter, I'd tell people, quit looking in the rearview mirror. You'll crash the car every time. Learn to look through the windshield. And as we face life, we got to learn to look through the windshield and know that we have a Savior that's going to be with us as we face the future. Zig Ziglar said it like this. Lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24 hours in a day. Focus. 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 But the truth is, sometimes Jesus is not our focus. Right? Our focus is off, and when our focus is off, what do we start doing? We start to worry. Now, my sister noticed I had a ball bat up in here, and she said, what in the world are you going to do with the ball bat, Jimmy? In church, Mark's gone, I can do whatever I want to, Sandy. It doesn't really matter. Nobody's going to tell on me, right? Right, Shauna? You know, I want to try to do something here. You know, with the ball bat, I can pretty much balance a ball bat on my hand. What's the secret? Focus on the top of it. Problem is I look up at that ball bat and I can focus it down here. But the moment I start looking down, I lose focus and I lose control of the bat. Now, as long as I'm looking up, I'm fine. But the moment I look down, I'm not. Y'all getting this? Y'all getting this? Problem is we look down too much. Problem is we're looking down too much. And we're not looking up nearly enough. We should be looking up. Too many times our focus is down. And when I look down, I see people stomping around and protesting. And I listen to the news and all the world's going to fall apart tomorrow. But when I look up, what do I see? I see a Savior that can take care of me. When I look down, man, I see hospitals and people are sick and things are, it can be a mess. People hurting. But when I look up, I see that my Savior, He's faithful day in and day out. And I know that He's watching over me. When I look down, I see all kinds of things to worry about. But when I look up and I focus on my Savior, let me say, when I'm focused on the Savior, it doesn't matter. There can be earthquakes all around me. My Savior can make it so I can stand in peace. My Savior can make it so that I will have no worries in a world that's falling apart. He'll let me stand steadfast. And while everybody else is in turmoil, I can have peace if I focus. If I just focus. If I just learn. If Jimmy Johnson would just learn to focus upward to a Savior that says, I got it. Not a thing they can do. I got this. I'm going to work through this. And if things around you fall apart, I got it. My daddy would say, worst thing they can do to you on life is kill you. You can't threaten a person with heaven. And he was right, Mom. Let's pray. Father, we love you. we worry too much. Father, I pray that we would learn to hang loose. Learn just to be with you. Just to be at your presence. We thank you for this church family. We pray for Mark this morning as well. And Father, we're grateful to have you to focus on. And save us when we focus downward and not upward. In the name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said. This morning we're going to have a hymn invitation. And Mark's not here, so I guess he won't know. So I would suggest that you take things today and lay them at the feet of Jesus. So I would think all of us, let's just stand right now. How many of you have worries in your life? Just raise your hand. How many spent a little time last week worrying? I did. Anybody else spend a little time worrying about something last week? As the band begins to play, how about right there at your seat? Why don't you just take a moment, just lay that at the feet of Jesus before you walk out of here? And if you can't get it off your chest and the time that Johnny's singing and the band's leading and the worship team's leading, well, you just stay sitting until you leave it at Jesus' feet and just stay in here until you're able to leave it at the foot of the cross. If you want to come and pray about a problem this morning, Charlie's here and I'm here. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to take some time to pray with you about what's going on in your life, large or small, large or small. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you accept Him today?
We Coming this morning. Have a great day.